Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Advent meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. You may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So far, summer text. In Christ Jesus, the fire in the burning bush and the baby born in Bethlehem, to fellow redeemed. Did you notice any similarities between our text this evening from Exodus and the Christmas story in Luke 2? Let's read it again with this version. There was in the same country of Horeb a shepherd abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock of his father-in-law Jethro by night. The name of this shepherd was Moses. And behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. When the shepherd Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to look, the voice of the Lord came, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob. And the shepherd Moses trembled and hid his face, for the glory of the Lord shone around him and made him greatly afraid. And the angel of the Lord said to him, Fear not, for I have surely seen the ill treatment of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt, and this will be a sign unto you. This bush that burns with fire is yet not consumed, and you return to this mountain someday. If this account, and the account in Christmas, is similar, because it is, the Lord Jesus is in both of these accounts. Remember, the angel of the Lord is not just an ordinary angel. And according to the usual definition of the word angel, this is not even an angel at all. Customarily, when we hear the word angel, we think of those spiritual beings, those heavenly beings that God created to serve him, to do his will, to watch over us. But the word angel means messenger, or literally in Hebrew, one who speaks the words of God. And therefore, an angel can also be a person. And people have been called angels. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is writing a letter, in fact, seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he writes the letters to the angels of Ephesus, the church of Thyatira, the church of Smyrna. And what he means by they're the angels of, he means the pastors, those who preach the word of God to them. And so, in the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord is mentioned, this is not an angel created by God. It is the very Son of God himself, who is the ultimate messenger to bring God's word to us. Moses consistently refers to this angel of the Lord as God in our text, because it is the second person of the Trinity. The Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate, before he was become a human being. So as the uncreated, eternal, divine angel or messenger of the Lord, we see Jesus as both the messenger and the message. Jesus, the angel of the Lord, the Son of God, is the Father's messenger into this world to bring the good news of the word of grace and forgiveness and life and love to all of us. You know, the Gospel of John says much the same thing. In the first verses of John's Gospel, he talks about Christ being the Word. And that Word has come down upon earth to be incarnate, become flesh and blood, and to proclaim the Gospel message. So, what we have here in our text is the pre-incarnate Jesus, prior to his conception, speaking to Moses. The Son of God has descended from heaven and come in the form of fire in the branches of this bush. At Christmas time, he descended from heaven and came in the person of a child, a human being. Both of these are physical presences. Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world, and so coming in fire is very appropriate. He's also the Son of God. Coming down as a human being to take our place is most appropriate. So Jesus came into the world, and the eternal and the temporal came together. The eternal Son of God became a blazing fire. The eternal Son of God became a human baby. His appearance in Bethlehem had the eternal significance of taking our place and becoming one of us as a human being. In our text this evening, he took the form of a human fire, a real fire, so Moses could see him, grasp, and understand. And in Christmas time, he came in the form of a human baby for us to be able to understand and grasp and see the very face of God covered with human flesh and blood. How amazing. The Creator comes into creation in such a way that sinful people can now approach him. Approach him without fear. Approach him without being destroyed. This burning bush, then, is really a type of Christ. It's a prophetic event. It foretells a time when Christ would descend this world and again permanently take our human nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary and be born as a human being. This event in Exodus also foreshadows the reason for our Lord's birth at Christmas. Jesus came in the fiery bush to tell Moses that he was going to send Moses to lead his people out of Egypt because he was going to set them free from the slavery that they endured and the oppression of their taskmaster, Pharaoh. In the same way, Christ came to this earth to proclaim our freedom from slavery, slavery of sin. What was Mary and Joseph told by the angels? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Our Lord descended to this earth to set us free from our enemy, sin, Satan, death, and hell. By his incarnation, Jesus became the new Moses to lead us out of the darkness of not Egypt, but death. Not to the Red Sea, but to the waters of baptism. Not to the promised land of Canaan, but to the heavenly promised land of light. Remember what this fire in the bush said many years later? In John 8, Jesus said, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So when Moses looked at this bush and examined it, he saw that it was burning with a fire, but the branches were not being consumed. It was not being burnt up. In this, we can think of two spiritual things. First, it teaches that the union between God and man took place in the conception and birth of Jesus. God became a human being. And that's a permanent thing. Jesus is still the Son of Man, now glorified. Even as he sits at the throne at the right hand of the Father, he always will be and he always is, even through eternity, man, together with God. Secondly, this fact that the bush was not consumed teaches that Christ came into our flesh not to bring judgment or destruction or hellfire. Christ came into humanity to set us free, to bring us forgiveness, life, salvation. As the fire did not destroy the bush, Jesus came as a human being not to destroy and judge, but to save. He joins himself to our humanity to cleanse us, to purify us forever. Jesus said in John 3, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God's command to Moses to take off his sandals because it's holy ground is an interesting thought. There's really probably a practical reason and possibly a theological reason there. Practical reason, I'm sure Moses' sandals were full of dirt, mud, possibly even sheep dung. They probably stunk. And now he's before the holy God. So out of respect and reverence, he takes his shoes off, a sign of humility. And theologically, the role of feet is very important and significant in the Bible. What was the very first promise? Jesus would have his heel bruised, and then he would crush Satan's head. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Isaiah 52:7 reads, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Here Moses is being prepared to lead God's people, to proclaim a message of good news to the people. And the Lord says, take off your sandals. Many years later, John the Baptist says this about Jesus. The strap of his sandal, I'm not worthy to even untie. Not only is John unworthy, so is Moses. And all the prophets, and all the apostles, and all the pastors, and all the people, and you and I included, we are unworthy to be God's proclaimers. And yet God chose us not only to be his children, but he called us to be his angels, his messengers, to speak the good news of salvation through Christ Jesus to all the people in this world. The place where Moses is standing was holy ground because God was there. Jesus was that fire. This was his tabernacle in that burning bush. How much more then does the Son of God hallow our humanity by becoming a human being just like us, we who are made of the dust of the earth? He hallows our humanity by coming to take away our sins. And still today we treat the same. The hollow things, holy things too. We have our Bibles, pulpit, our lectern, our altar, our worship services. This is our holy ground because Jesus is here. He's present in his word. It's written in the scriptures that a sinner cannot see God and live. So when Moses was told that this was speaking out of that fire, this was the God of his father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even though it was a fire and he didn't see him face to face, he was afraid. But when Jesus came, he came as a little baby, as a human being. So we wouldn't be afraid of him. We wouldn't fear and die. We would love and be loved and live. And trusting this God in the flesh, we are made holy and to live forever. By taking on our human nature, Jesus did not annihilate us. Instead, he saved us. Rather, he filled us with his righteousness, his perfection. He became like us so that we would become like him forever. In our text, the Lord said, I know the sufferings, I know the sorrow of my people, the children of Israel. And the word there, know, doesn't mean I had knowledge and I was far off and I could see, isn't that terrible what was happening? No, it's an intimate understanding of what's going on. The Lord knew what was happening to those Israelites, how they were being beaten, how they were suffering in Egypt for so many, many years, and he did something about it. Well, so also our Savior sees our misery. He saw the misery of mankind with our taskmaster Satan and our sins, the misery that death brings upon us, the fear of hell, and he shared our sorrows too. Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We're told in John 10, Jesus speaking, I know my own, and my own know me. And as a good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord hears the cries of you and me and all of his people, and he does something about it. He came down to this earth, first of all, to redeem Israel from the Egyptians at the time of Moses. He's come down to redeem us from Satan and hell, to save humanity. Finally, in our text, the Lord Jesus reveals to Moses his special name. He says, I am who I am. He says, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. That name is very special. It signifies God's uniqueness. He's the only one. And his eternalness. He's always present. 1,000 years ago, he was I am. If the world lasts long enough, 100 years from now, he still is I am. He's the source of all life. Our Savior is that great I am personified, as we've been hearing in our Wednesday night Bible classes and the Gospel of John. You see, before Abraham was, I am. And John has most of those I am statements. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. You are the branches, as we heard in our reading this evening. He who revealed himself to Moses as that fire in the burning bush has now taken upon our flesh and our blood to make us branches like that burning bush. Branches because he is the vine, so we might be joined to him and bring forth much fruit. Cut yourself away from Jesus. Remove yourself from Jesus, and you will wither and die like a dead branch and be sent to judgment. But abiding in Jesus, the branches thrive and grow and produce fruit to the joy of our Savior and our Heavenly Father. You can picture this in your mind. Jesus is like that vine that was planted in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And that vine now has spread all around the globe. And millions upon millions of branches are growing out of that vine. You and I, we're all bringing forth fruit to the glory of the Father all around the world. But break yourself off from that vine and we're lost. So truly this story of the burning bush is a great sign of the Lord's coming at Christmas, a living prophecy of incarnation. You could call it an Old Testament Christmas story. So as we prepare our hearts for the celebration of our Savior's first coming as a baby in Bethlehem, may God grant to us that flame of our Savior Jesus, inflaming us to see not just a baby born in Bethlehem, but to see our Savior, our God, our Lord, who came for one purpose and one purpose only, to take our place, to live that perfect obedient life, to die upon the cross, to pay for the guilt of our sins, to rise again and redeem us all. The baby in Bethlehem, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.